Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah.
It's never, never, never been a good bet to bet against America.
A stronger NHS, better schools, safer streets, control of our borders, protecting and building an economy that embraces the opportunities of Brexit.
Hi, hello and welcome. This is Mid-Atlantic. On this week's episode, we're going to delve into the high stakes, high drama world of UK local elections. I'm Royfield Brown. In Birmingham, in England, and I'm joined today by my cousin from another auntie. It's Leah Brown in Broadstairs in Kent and Tanya Altrade in London. This week, we're looking at the seismic shift in British politics following the recent local elections. Labour is celebrating significant gains, having secured mayoral victories in the West Midlands, and London, with Sadiq Khan securing a third term. And in the West Midlands, Richard Parker narrowly edged out the Conservative incumbent Andy Street. These wins signalled potential shifts in voter sentiment as we look towards the general election. Meanwhile, the Conservative Party is licking its wounds after losing almost 400 council seats and the control of 10 councils, marking their worst performance since 1996. This has intensified scrutiny on Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's leadership, with internal divisions becoming ever more apparent within the Conservative Party. The Liberal Democrats and the Green Party have also made notable gains, reflecting a possibly changing political landscape, while the nascent Reform Party struggled to find its footing.
So, Madam Returning Officer, you'll be relieved to know this is going to be a short speech. And the first thank you, of course, must go to you and all your teams across the region for a well-conducted election. So, thank you. The second thank you, of course, must go to my fellow candidates for a very courteous campaign. And, of course, I should thank Richard, indeed, for how he's conducted himself in the campaign and should congratulate him on his victory and, most importantly, wish him all strength and wisdom as he takes on this role. And then, most importantly, my thanks, of course, go to everybody who voted for me on Thursday and for the trust that they showed in me. That's perhaps the most important word in politics of all. And then, lastly, the reflection which goes to all citizens across the West Midlands. It has, of course, been my honour to serve and to lead this place for the last 7 years. I hope I've done it with dignity and integrity. And I hope I've bequeathed to Richard a combined authority and indeed a role to which young aspiring leaders will want to aspire one day.
Ooh, Tanya, what were your big takeaways from last week's local election results?
Big takeaway that the Conservatives are still a mess and continuing to decline. for clearing this sort of long period of decline until maybe they become extinct. But Labour still showing strengths of growing. But at the same time, lots of the Muslim votes they made a statement against Labour in some areas. And the Greens coming back, the Lib Dems coming back, I thought there's a lot of interest around. Definitely people want something different from what they're getting right now. And maybe Labour can provide that, but there are still going to be gaps where there are areas where people want something different from the Lib Dems also coming up. And like you said, the Greens also picking up large gains. So it's a mixed bag, but definitely the Conservatives still in a decline.
Leah, if you're a Conservative strategist looking at the whole kind of panoply of the election results, are there any signs of optimism?
That is a very difficult question. I think the optimism from the top seems to be, we're heading for a hung parliament. That seems to be the new thing that the Conservatives are hanging their hats on, that Labour can't quite pull it out of the bag. So that's a victory. I mean, there's lots of celebration about Tees Valley. And obviously the closeness of the race in the West Midlands is significant. I suppose the other win for the Conservatives is that Rishi Sunak seems to be safe for now. And there seems to be a lot of people coming out very vocally to say there won't be a change of leader before the general election. But quite frankly, they just need to call it. And Britain needs to be able to move forwards. And it's extraordinary that the results have almost been worse than anticipated. And yet, there's an awful lot of celebration going on in Conservative circles. Delusion, perhaps.
But surely, Tanya, this pushes back any potential election, at least until the autumn. What the Conservatives need is for people to forget their total bloodying that they've had with this election. Hopefully, the country will have a quarter or two of semi-decent economic results. Not that Rishi Sunak can start afresh, but then can call an election. And maybe there's been a decent summer.
That's the best they can hope for. I think what you've just played out is the best they can hope for. It is what the plan was probably always for. That was probably the only plan they had all this time. Try to turn the tide economically and try to stop the boats, as they say, get a plane out to Rwanda and call an election just on the back of that. And it's definitely not something that they look like they can call right now, because the rest of us in the country wants them to call it as quickly as possible and just stop this really bloody, long, drawn-out, stale moments that we're all having. But they're definitely not going to do that because it's not in their interest. And their interest is to delay it as long as possible and try and get one or two wins and call it on the back of that. I don't think it's going to be enough anyway, because anyone who's been watching the decline of the country really just needs to kick them out, and there needs to be consequences for the decisions and actions they've made over the last few years.
There also needs to be some level of consequences, doesn't there not, Leah, for Labour's stance on Gaza, which has led to significant voter backlash in areas where there are significant Muslim communities. And if we look at the West Midlands, where Richard Parker just squeaked a victory over Andy Street, there were 46,000 people who voted for the Gaza candidate. I think we can just about surmise that the vast majority of those would have been people who would call themselves Muslim and traditionally were Labour voters. So whilst that was a narrow victory, it does point, whether we look at places like Oldham, whether it is places like the West Midlands, that Labour has an issue to address there, doesn't it?
I think it definitely does, but I think with respect to the West Midlands particularly, there's some other things that are at play. First of all, there was the Conservative smear campaign against Richard Parker in the news earlier this week about him living outside the boundary lines and him having rented a flat in the city with the distinct aim of basically dethroning his attempt at a premiership. Then the other thing I think to consider is obviously voter turnout, which isn't limited to the West Midlands, but certainly the commentary on the local elections at large is that voter turnout continues to be considerably lower than one would think, given the importance of the candidates that are being selected and the topics that are at hand. There's something to be said for those 46,000 voters, certainly in terms of you're getting the polarity of views. And also, can Labour take from this victory in all senses, or actually how much can you read into Gaza from the results, not just in the West Midlands, but across the entire country? It has Have these elections given a renewed focus on Gaza? I'm not sure they have, although I do agree with you that it is something that the party could absolutely be doing better.
The recent West Midlands mayoral election concluded with a surprising upset, as Labour candidate Richard Parker narrowly defeated incumbent Conservative Andy Street. Parker won the election by a margin of 1,508 votes. Probably the biggest surprise, however, was the strong support for independent candidate Ahmed Yacoub, who came in third. Yacoub's significant share of the votes likely drew support away from the Labour candidate, Richard Parker, impacting the overall dynamics of the race. Here is a more detailed breakdown of the election results. Labour candidate Richard Parker won the election with 225,590 votes, securing a 37.8% share. Conservative candidate Andy Street was a close second with 224,082 votes, representing a 37.5% share. Independent candidate Ahmed Yacoub received 69,621 votes, capturing an 11.7% share.
Tonya, do you think we will see any subtle signalling shifts from Keir Starmer, David Lammy, etc. after these results?
You mean in terms of Gaza?
Yes. So you see, because it seems to me that the Labour Party are incredibly out of step, and I don't just mean with the general British public or even world opinion or even the signalling that's coming out of the Biden administration. I think they're even out of step with at least David Cameron. He seems to be more critical of Israel than Starmer and Lammy.
Yeah, in my view, I think what happened with the Labour vote was he tried to be in sync with the global view, especially with the signalling from the Biden presidency in the US. At the start of this conflict, they wanted to appear united as a Western front, wanted to appear united with Sunak and with Biden. And this is what I think. And they signalled, yes, that they were fully in support of Israel, and they took that really strong line. And I think there was a point where they had the opportunity to start recoiling that, or to make it clear that, yes, we want to be strong on the Western front. We want to support our allies, but we recognize when there's genocide or catastrophe going on, or something wrong going on that is affecting someone's human rights. And there was an opportunity for them to come out and really articulate that. And I think they didn't. They missed that opportunity. They completely just went on with the strong line of wanting to be united on the Western front. And it became too late for them. By the time Sunak realized and changed his tone slightly, it was a little bit too late, and they'd lost a lot of the Muslim support that they had. Regarding the future and giving a statement of the local elections, what are they going to do going forward? I think we've seen in some cases that Starmer is willing and able to change his position. We've seen that he's able to slightly flex that position. I'm not going to be overly confident that I think he's going to change it in a strong hand, but I think he might show subtle signs of advocating for a lot more humanitarian aid in Gaza, advocating for Israel to come to the table and really solve that conflict as soon as possible. But I don't think he's going to come out on his own to do that. I think he's going to wait to get into power. He's going to wait till he has a stronger hand to play, and that's going to be until an election comes.
Leah, where do these election results put the wings of the Conservative Party? Andy Street, the Conservative mayoral candidate, number one, almost ran as an independent. He tried everyone to forget the fact that he actually is a Conservative. And in his very gracious kind of post-election comments, one of the things which he said is that the Conservative Party needs to try and capture the middle ground, and any more who's further right will be electoral oblivion. Where goes now the Conservative Party looking at these results?
Reform's performance didn't suggest that moving further rightward would be a valuable move in any way, shape or form. I think it's difficult because with Labour shifting right, there isn't really anywhere for the Conservatives to go but further right. And I'm reticent to disagree with Andy Street, but I think the issue is really trying to find some common sense within the Conservative Party and find leadership. We have this conversation most weeks, but it's basically, what do you stand for? What are you trying to achieve? Are you willing to call a spade and accept that you don't know how to do what you've been trying to do? And therefore make way for other people to come up through and take on the reins. I think they need a full reboot. And both from a policy perspective and from a personnel perspective. And ultimately, if they won't go and make way for new roots to poke through the soil, they'll be forced out. And then they'll have to go and lick their wounds and figure out what to do next. But this ever shift rightwards, which isn't delivering in terms of Rwanda and the foreign policy in general, the economic policies, the craziness that's going on with potholes and transport, deliver something. That's what they need to do. They need to deliver something.
What could that something be, Tonya? I must admit, I think these Shower have had 14 years of trying to deliver something, and what they've delivered is a dislocation from Europe, a downturn in British investment, a stunted economy, a poisonous political atmosphere. I could go on. I could go on. But if there is going to be some level of a Tory reboot, where could that even start from in terms of policy?
Honestly, the only thing that would... People are paid millions to answer this question, Royfield. You just posed to me. The only thing that can save them, in my view, is the economy. Stupid. If that's the only thing that's going to save them. If there is anything that is going to give them any saving grace. Cost of living is unbelievable. People, I don't have to recap and rehash exactly what people are going through, but we know that the state of the country has, the lives that people are living has gotten a lot worse over the last 10 years and even more. If they can fix the economy, bring down interest rates somehow, bring down inflation somehow, they might have a saving grace. But they spend all their time talking absolute gobshite. I mean, look at Sunak when he's asked about his... all of his local people losing their positions and what prospects they have for the future. He keeps on saying, I'm working hard for the people. I'm concentrating on working, on doing the job that the British people want me to do. And you're concentrating on doing that, but you're losing all the seats that you have. You're losing all the power and authority you have. You're not doing anything that is actually affecting the lives of people. And I spend all the time talking about sending a plane to Rwanda and people are suffering and living lives that are much more impoverished than they've lived over the last 10 years. So they need to do something on the economy. I think that's the only place they can work now, because people need to feel that their lives are going to get better. There's going to be a prospect for their lives getting better. And we know what the economy is linked to. We know it's linked to Brexit, and we know it's linked to stupid policies that Liz Truss brought in. We know that's why we are where we've turned so much. That needs to have a reversal. It needs bold, courageous leadership, and it needs someone to start telling the bold, hard truths, which I don't think they're ready for. So clearly, Sunak has not shown any signs of being ready for that.
Leah, if we move away from the independent Gaza candidate, specifically in the West Midlands, there were independent candidates all over the UK, and the independents fared very well. Is this just a sign of local politics with local issues, or is this a wider sign that the British public are fed up of the political status quo?
Let's talk about London, shall we? Because that's a good reference point. The independents did do quite well in London. And again, referring to the 40-something percent voter turnout, I'd be interested to know how different that would have been if turnout had been increased. But I also know that some of the candidates that were independent in the mayoral selection had tried to run under other parties previously. There is something about the selection of candidates under the main umbrellas that is questionable. And I think there's something about people wanting to run on principle and stick to their manifestos and be really clear about what it is that they want to do to effect change and how they propose to do that without being confined to party lines or party policies. That is definitely gaining traction. I would agree with that wholeheartedly.
Oh, well, one of the things which you've mentioned a couple of times, Leah, is voter turnout. And we know that voter turnout in local elections is always much lower than it is in general elections. And then that was also coincided with the fact that we had to take ID to the voting polls for the first time, of which one Boris Johnson forgot his photo.
Conveniently forgot. Intentionally forgot.
Whether he did or not, Tory strategists, when they brought in that law, look to what happens in America, and they know it depresses the vote of people who are poorer because they're much less likely to have photo ID. So do you think that's maybe one area of which the Labour Party can have reason for optimism, that on this level of turnout, they still managed to trounce the Tories? Bearing in mind that some of the vote was taken away by disaffected Muslim voters. So come the general election, if things stay round about the same, we're looking at a much higher, significantly higher Labour margin of victory.
That's certainly what they think. But I'm always worried about the secret Tory voters, to be honest. They think that they represent a larger proportion of society than I think anybody wants to give credit to. And I think people are so dismayed with local authorities, and I'm not even sure how much ID and a bearing on voter turnout, but I know that it is problematic, and I am disappointed that there are not stronger pull factors, I think, to get people in the ballot boxes sticking their X's on the piece of paper. But I think you're absolutely right. Come the general election, I think the Labour strategists are forecasting exactly that windfall that you propose. I remain cautious and slightly sceptical, but that's the cynic in me, I think.
Labour has experienced significant electoral successes, as highlighted by key victories in the Blackpool South by-election and various key councils. This suggests a strong performance across different regions. Sir Keir Starmer and the Shadow Chancellor, Rachel Reeves, celebrated with David Skaith in North Hallerton after his victory in the York and North Yorkshire mayoral election, indicating the party's continued relevance and appeal under their leadership. Yvette Cooper, the Shadow Home Secretary, acknowledged that Labour had lost council seats due to the strong public feelings about the war in Gaza. She emphasized that Labour would work to earn votes back in future, showing an awareness of the need to address voter concerns more effectively. Wes Streeting, the Shadow Health Secretary, vowed that Labour would reflect on the loss of support from Muslim voters over the party's stance on Gaza. He stated that the party would listen, reflect, and learn from these electoral messages, demonstrating a commitment to engaging with community concerns. Labour holds a 9-point lead over the Conservatives in the projected national share of the vote, positioning them in pole position for a potential general election. This analysis reflects a strong base of support, although it also highlights the ongoing challenges from independent candidates and smaller parties.
Tonya, in Canada, local elections are non-party political. People run as independents, in effect, in Canada. You're looking at these mayoral elections, Andy Street, many a Labour voter who I know actually will tell you that Andy Street has done a good job promoting the interests of the West Midlands. And as I mentioned before, he fundamentally tried to run as an independent. He eschewed any Tories coming to help him. And he actually very clearly said when he was campaigning, let's not talk about national politics. We're talking about local politics here. Do you think there's an argument for saying that specifically local metro mayors should actually be non-party political? Because if you look at it, they have to go to central government and argue for their region. And sometimes they're arguing for their region against their own political parties. And they've got to be able to do that. And then sometimes they'll be arguing for the opposite stripe in terms of who the national government is. And then it's seen as party political as opposed to them truly trying to argue for their region. What says you, sir, about the Labour Party bringing in the next administration a law which very clearly says candidates for Metro Mayor are not party political? And do you think that maybe that's the change, the start of the change that we need to see within British politics?
We certainly need change in British politics, the kind of changes I think we need. Maybe, yeah, this is an interesting point, and I don't know exactly how efficient and effective this works in Canada. I don't know how much success it brings. I think I'd be hesitant to make such sweeping change in British politics if I came in, if the Labour government came in. I don't think it's ready for that kind of change yet. I think one, you want to still be able to distinguish people by the parties that they support. So if Andy's tweets, I had a quick look at his Twitter account, and there is a mechanism where you should completely distance yourself from the party if you're not happy with what the party has done nationally. And if your continuous advocation for the people that you represent is not making any, you know, hearing anything back, you're not getting any progress or any support from that, and you completely do not agree with what the party is, you remove yourself from the party and make it clear where you stand. So I think there's a mechanism. It might be limited because politics is politics and you might still be arguing a lot of internal politics. But at the same time, I don't think if I was Labour, I'd be ushering in that kind of change to say all metro mayors should be absolutely removed from party politics. I think there is the kind of change we need in our politics is a lot around the culture and a lot around the honesty and the integrity and the northern principles that we had previously that we simply lost under these last 14 years of Conservative government. That's where we need to remind ourselves, and that's what Labour needs to focus on, bringing back those northern principles, because then the engine works again as it was oiled to work.
Leah, surely some of the things that Tanya is arguing for, that probity and standards and principles and whatever, would be easier for people to uphold if they didn't have a political label. If it was, I am just Andy Street, I am just Richard Parker, I am just Sadiq Khan, I am just Andy Burnham running. And yes, people can look at their history and discern we're more right-leaning than left-leaning, but surely this would unshackle them from party doctrines. It would mean that we could have maybe more creative ideological mayors. I don't know. Come on. Come with me on this crusade, my friend.
Sorry, I'm afraid I disagree. I think one of the reasons that it's not really workable is because these metro mayors form part of the engine of the party political system. And Andy Burnham winning a third term, Sadiq Khan winning a third term.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is not usual. And I don't think that it would be possible if they were independent candidates. And I don't think that you're going to convince people who are really driven by a sense of loyalty and belonging to a party, because people want to belong to something. People don't want to be independents. People don't want to have to personally finance their campaigns. The whole system isn't set up for that. And I don't know how you would create an ideological shift to get behind that, because no man wants to be an island, and independents by definition are islands. So I don't think that would work.
I don't know. You could say that as long as you demonstrate some level of support, I don't know, however many signatures, so it comes up to, I don't know, 1% of the electorate somewhere, that then you're just given a sum of money to campaign. I don't think it's that complicated to work out.
It's not that it's complicated, it's that you'd be the underdog and that you'd be fighting against the machine. And so there's no ability for you to get your head above the parapet far enough to be able to make strides in getting either access to or buy-in from existing voters to convince you not to go with what they know. We're in a world where people would rather go with what they know than what is right. And that's slightly terrifying, that we've lost the ability to exercise independent thought. And here we are. But
and here I am setting a framework so we have independent thought in our electorates.
Yes, but everyone would have to go for it. For that to work, everyone would have to go for it.
I think it's significant. And again, I'm looking at Andy Street here. I'm sat in the West Midlands, so he's the Metro Mayor, which I know the most, that he has been vocal against the scrapping of HS2 between Manchester and Birmingham. And he has been very much against Conservative Party policy. So much so that even though we have this national swing against the Tories, that he can claim to have come within a hair's breadth of retaining his seat because people saw him as an independent, the way that he's...
You can guarantee that the Conservatives would have claimed him hook, line and sinker if he had managed to get that extra 1,500 votes. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, can't use the Andy Street example to change the entire system. He's one person which has done, he's done a good job and he's challenged the Conservative policies and he's come up for standing up for his people. But I think it's a change that is too radical to make. We already have so many, and forgive me for the term, but we already have a lot of really loony people coming up to make this kind of positions in the public space. And then to give them free rein to be, the party politics gives us that safeguard around these are your ideologies and this is what you actually support and this is what you stand for. Of course, there are going to be local interests that come into conflict with national interests sometimes or with the party interests. And that's where you come into the fore. That's where you actually argue for what represents your local people and try to make that voice heard. But without that safeguard, we are going to get a lot more of this, like Susan Hall, who is actually represented in a massive party. But the likes of her are going to fill this space with much more radical, incredible ideas of sending boats to Rwanda or planes or whatever it is. And we're just going to not be able to tell the wheat from the trees.
Let us wrap this up, my friends. Leah, your final words on the 2024 local elections, which most definitely will be the last semi-national round of voting before the general election.
I think it was exciting, it was engaging, it was dynamic, it was interesting. It spread out over lots of days, so we didn't have all the results first thing on Friday morning, which was great. Not in a rush to do it again. Bring on the general elections. That's all I've got.
And you, Tanya?
Look, local elections are what they are. They give information and an indication, but they're not general elections. So yes, they have happened and glad that we have seen even a reduction further in sort of the Conservative position across the country. So yes, I am much more eager and anticipating of the general election because I think that's where the tidal wave in it really lies.
I tell you what, if Richard Parker had lost that election by one vote, it would have been my fault. Because here's the thing, good people. I was sent a postal vote because I have a postal vote because of all of my America Globe trotting that I do. The postal vote came and then the regular vote voter's card came. So I didn't bother sending off the postal vote. I walked up to the polling station only to discover there was a big line through my name. And she said, oh, you must be Glenroy Brown. I went, no, that's my dad. I'm Royfield Brown. She went, oh, no, you've got a postal vote. Hence, there's a big line through your name. I'd thrown the postal vote away. The fact that was so close in the West Midlands, that could have been on me. That's all I'm saying. And on that note, good people, there is a lesson to us all for us to read the small print when you get your ballot card, and especially if you have a postal vote, because, yes, there was some level of a snafu, the fact that I got a regular ballot card as well. But anyway, Richard Parker did just win. And you know what he's doing, people? He is bringing back into public ownership the public transport within the West Midlands. So I know Andy Burnham has done, and the Liverpool Metro Mayor, he said they're going to do. And public ownership has always been part of public transport in London. It's another reason why we need proper levelling up in the UK. We need to get those essential workers to be able to go from point A to point B at an affordable price and with regular public transport. So we need to grab hold of it. So well done, Richard Parker. That's all I'm going to say there. I still think the Labour Party could go a whole lot further in terms of public ownership. It's great that they said they're going to bring the trains back into public ownership, but that's easy. Let's go further. Let's do water and let's have that in the election manifesto, Mr. Keir Starmer, and pull your finger out with Gaza. Leah Brown, where can people find you on the socials?
I can be found on LinkedIn, Leah Brown, FRSA MSOM. I can be found on Instagram at Seen Heard Spoken. And I can be found on X or Twitter at Only One Leah.
Ooh. And how are you feeling? Because I know you're a little bit fluey.
Yeah, still down with flu. Plenty of fluids, plenty of Lemsip, plenty of soup.
Wait a minute.
Bring on the bank holiday Monday.
Hanging out with Tonya and I has not been the tonic, the little fillip that you needed to maybe get you over the worst of your flu.
Always a good excuse to have a smile.
Good. Tonya Alltrade, my friend. First off, where can people find you on the socials?
I can be found on LinkedIn as well, or I can be found on X, Twitter, formerly known as Twitter, X, or Trade the Great on X.
It's rather bombastic, that, isn't it, really?
It is.
Egotistical.
I'm not going to go as far as saying
egotistic. Arrogance.
It is bombastic. We need to bring back some bombastic times, some bombastment into our lives.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. Listen, I like confident men. So I don't know about Leah. How do you feel about confident men?
This is not fair. This is not appropriate. I'm not answering that question.
Fair enough. I didn't realize that controversial a question, but fair enough. Mr. Aldrain, what do you do for your bank holiday? I take it you don't have the flu.
I don't have the flu, thankfully. Yeah, spending some time with friends and having a few drinks. But yeah, it is a nice, relaxing bank holiday.
Good, and I can be found at Roy Field at most things there. I'm really bad on social media, so just whatever for that. But what you can do, send me an email at royfield@gmail.com. And what you can do is also write us a nice little positive review, because that would be quite awesome, on either Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. Don't forget, there is a Substack. I have a shed load, a bucket load of shows which will be going up toot sweet. Show on Haiti. We have a show next week looking at Iran and its geopolitical positioning. So much content. Please continue to support the podcast by not only downloading it, go and tell a friend. So listen to this. It's pretty good. You learn stuff. And go support the Substack. I've been Royfield Brown. Let us into politics is right thinking politics. Take care. Look after yourselves. Bye-bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.